Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now turn to Isaiah 55, verse 1. O everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. He that has no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread, your labor for what satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, nations that knew thee not, shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in a singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And a verse in John 4 and verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Two last verses, John 7, verse 37 and 38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, out of the scripture, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jeremiah starts out with a question. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, hewed out them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. I think in our own country, when we see the Lord talking about living waters here, that's the Hebrew for running water. And you know, we're kind of spoiled. I don't know how many of you lost power and were still living in your house during the hurricane or the floods that preceded it. And your power went off. And you went over to get a drink of water and you turned on the tap and nothing came out. No living waters. No running waters. We're so used to it. that we fail to remember what a blessing it is. You know, for most of mankind's time, when you wanted water, and you had to go out there with your bucket down a well, bring it up, and you had to set aside time of the day to get water. And if you had a spring on your property, boy, that made that property valuable because the water kept flowing. It was living water. And it was there, but it was still not in your house. We all have living water running in our houses all the time. We just go over when we're thirsty, open it, drink. Our thirst is quenched. And not only that, you want to take a shower. And you don't just turn on the cold water and say, oh, this is freezing water. We can turn on the hot water. Have a nice hot shower just coming right into our house. Even today, how much of the world doesn't have that? How blessed we are. Talk about something to be thankful for that we forget. Who would choose that or not reject that and say, go to some broken well, some cistern was a dugout well that water would flow into when it rained, but it was man-made and it had cracks in it so it could hold no water. Who would choose that over what we have, over running, living water? And the Lord has to tell Israel here in Jeremiah, what is wrong with you people? You've forsaken me, the living water, for your own man-made cisterns that can hold no water, that are empty, and don't satisfy. And yet we look around us today, and we see how many people are doing just that same thing. How many people are looking for living water in all the wrong places. All man's made wells or cisterns, but they're all broken. They never satisfy. They use all their labor, all their time, all their effort for it. And when they get there, it's empty. It's broken. The devil today has deceived the minds, blinded the minds of those who don't believe into thinking that their broken well is going to satisfy till they try it and come to the end result of it. And it's empty. I just read a quote this week by Blaise Pascal, written probably, I think he was in the 1700s, actually a famous scientist, but also a believer. And he said this, "Today, truth is so obscure and lies so well established that you need to love the truth in order to recognize it." Think of that. This was written back in the 1700s, that lies were so well established, they became orthodox, and truth so obscured that you really had to love truth in order to even recognize it. And in our day, this book is vilified. The enemy would love to get you to laugh at anybody who reads the Bible. Anybody who quotes, that's just man-made. 2,000 years. We've proved, science has proved over and over ago. Again, it's full of contradictions. You can't trust it. The devil would love you to never read this book. And those people who say that, all you have to ask them is, have you read the Bible? Well, no, not really. Full of contradictions? Well, name me 10. Just give me 10. It's somewhere. Somebody told me it was full of contradictions. And they've never read it themselves. Somebody said, well, you shouldn't do that because that's against God's law. That will hurt you. No, it isn't. Nobody believes that anymore. God is a God that loves us. God is the one who's the designer, and he knows how we work and function best. And when he tells us, do certain things, it's because he loves us for our good. When he says, don't do certain things, it's because he knows it will hate us. It will hurt us. It's like the physical laws. As in science, men have discovered God's laws and then learned to work within those laws, we can do great things in technology. We're really free. It's the same in the spiritual world. Same in God's moral laws. Somebody said, we never break God's laws. Man never breaks God's laws. They violate them. And then those laws break them. Think about that. You don't break, when you fly on a plane, you're not breaking the law of gravity. We've just found a different law that is greater than the law of gravity and allows us to soar, be really free. It's the same thing in the spiritual world. When God says don't do certain things, and you disregard what he says, you're violating his law, and then there will be consequences. It may not be, you might be sowing in the springtime, and you may not reap it for months later. But be sure, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. And the enemy has so deceived people into thinking that this is really happiness. I got to find my own happiness, because if there's a God, he's a killjoy. He's up there trying to stop my happiness, so I have to find my own happiness. And they try it this way, that way, this way, and they find it's all empty. And not only that, it brings sorrow in their lives, brings stress in their lives. You know, when a machine is operating as designed, it has the least amount of stress. But when it starts, if the piston starts wanting to move out of the cylinder one way or another, it's not functioning correctly, it develops stress. And then it eventually breaks. That's the way it is in the spiritual world. When you violate God's laws, you will develop stresses in your life that will eventually break you. And it, in one sense, it's good. Because it opens our eyes to realize we've been going to a broken cistern that doesn't hold water, doesn't quench thirst, doesn't meet my needs. I was deceived. I was a fool. You know, the wonderful thing about our God, he's a God of grace. He's a God of love. And he's the same one who writes Isaiah 53. And it's to everyone. Isaiah 55. 53 is the basis where he became the servant and suffering servant to die for our sins. 54 tells us how he's going to take barren Israel and bless her. 55 says, his grace is going to overflow to the whole world. To anybody that's thirsty. Oh, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. He that has no money, come buy and eat. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. That's an offer you can't refuse. You know, it doesn't cost you anything. It costs something to give it to us, but it doesn't cost you anything. All you have to do is recognize that you're thirsty, that you're needy, that your own way is the wrong way, and it's only brought sorrow and stress in your life. And the same one who wrote Isaiah 55, the Lord Jesus, we didn't read it, but in Matthew 11, end of that chapter, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All you have to do is recognize that you're thirsty and this world doesn't satisfy it. That you're weary and laboring for what does not satisfy, what costs you everything. And the Lord says, all right, come to me. Believe me that I love you, that I want your happiness. Remember the first sin that came in was because our parents believed the wrong person. They believed the snake, the liar. He presented himself as some wise, generous person offering them advice, knowledge that God didn't want to give them. And he was really saying, God doesn't really love you. He only loves himself. He doesn't want you to be like him. Eat of it, disobey. break his law. They found out that they violated it, and then it broke them. Sin came in the world and passed on to every one of us. But God provided a way. In spite of our failures and our sinful rebellion, he still loved us. He sent his own son to go to that woman at the well in John 4. He saw her need. He saw that she was trying to find her happiness in her own way. Didn't work out with several husbands. And the one she had wasn't her husband. She was needy. And he saw her heart like that well. And he said, "Woman, if you knew the gift of God, who's speaking to you, you would ask him. He'd give you living water. He'd give you not just running water." She thought it was running water at first, but he's really meaning it's living water so that you'll never thirst again. Never. Never thirst again? No, never thirst again. I'm that living water. He can say in John 7, anybody who's thirsty, I'll not only fill you up, you will be a river of water flowing out to everyone else. You see, God's grace is so great, it cannot be contained by one human heart. When we receive it, he fills us up to overflowing. He not only blesses us, but he makes us a blessing. Sometimes we sing, "Lord, make me a blessing to someone today." How do we become a blessing to someone? It's that overflow, the river of living water that comes from Christ, from knowing him, to be a blessing to somebody else. Somebody shared recently 3 simple ways to be a blessing. Tell what you know. That's what Naaman's servant girl did. Oh, if he would go, there's a prophet in Israel who healed him of his leprosy. Tell him what you know. Give what you have. The lad with 5 loaves and 2 fish gave what he had. The hands of the Lord fed 5,000 men plus women and children. Do what you can. Mary, anointing the Lord, she hath done what she could. You know, you don't have to be a great orator. You don't have to have a great this or great that before you can be a blessing to somebody today. All you have to do is tell what you know. Tell them what the Lord's done for you. Give what you have. Give what you have. Not what you don't have. Not what somebody else gave. Give what you have. Even if it's 2 mites. Do what you can. Do what you can. The best advertisement is a satisfied customer. If we're satisfied with the Lord Jesus, then share it. I remember when I was in college, one brother prayed. He said, "Lord, don't let us be like someone who's found a warehouse full of food in a starving city and say, well, if the subject comes up, I'll tell them about it." The world is starving. Look around. See how many starving people. Just saw in the news, 47,000 people commit suicide this past year. 47,000. Were they satisfied people? Were they happy people? They all tried their broken cisterns. They knew better than what God said. They disregarded his word. They found out it was empty cisterns. When they could have come to the Lord Jesus saying, "If you're thirsty, come. It's free. There's no gimmicks. No strings attached. You'll have the happiest life you can ever have if you obey him." He is so wise. He knows so much better than us that whenever we ask him a question, and if we get his answer, that's the best thing to do. Mary had found that out. Just watching her son grow up all those years in the home. So when they're at Cana and the wine runs out, she could say to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it. What the Lord says to you, do it. He knows what's best. He knows what's for our happiness. Why do you spend money? For it's not bread. Your labor for that which satisfies not. Hearken diligently unto me. Eat what's good. Let your soul delight in fatness. Listen. How many people don't listen? How many times did the Lord say, if you have ears to hear, let him hear? Somebody said, God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. Now, often our mouth keeps our ears from hearing. Oh, I know that. I know. You know, you answer before you listen. Incline your ear. Verse 3, come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. Is your soul alive? Are you really alive? What would happen if right now God takes your soul? Where would you be? Would you say, I know where I'm going. I'm looking forward to that day because I know where I'm going. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. God had promised David that one of his descendants would be that Messiah who would come. And same one in chapter 53 who would suffer and bleed and die, not for his own sins, but for our sins, for the sins of the world, so that his rich mercy can flow out to everyone. And they're sure mercies. He that waits upon the Lord shall not make haste. He that trusts in the Lord will never regret it. Because whatever God promises in his word, he is true to his promises. Never go back on him. And when he says, if you give your life over to me and trust in me, I'll give you the best life you can have. Not only in this world, but eternal life. Believe it. He means it. And there are many here, I hope everybody here, who have experienced that it's true. He's as good as his word. I can trust him. Then he talks about the Lord Jesus. Behold, I have given him, God has made him a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. God has set him forth, commander in chief. When you make him commander in chief in your life, you'll never regret it. Do what he says. Follow his direction. He loves you more than you can possibly imagine. And God has set him forth. He's raised him from the dead. He could say after his resurrection, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He's given him the name above every name, that every knee should bow, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Confess him as Lord. Confess him now as Lord. Own him as Lord now. He'll save you. He'll change your life when you trust him. He goes on to say that God makes him for all the nations. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not. The nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee. God has glorified his Son. He's made that name every nation in the world. This day, we're singing his praises. Before ever we remembered the Lord, people had gotten up in Europe and in the East and were singing praises to the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes around this day, every nation giving him praise. God has proclaimed him not just to Israel, but to the whole world. Then he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. When you hear his word, when you hear this chapter, God is near, speaking to you. Say, seek him now. Seek him. He's not far. He's welcoming you. He's calling you. Don't neglect such an opportunity. It's better than winning the lottery. You know, Satan tempts us, oh, if I only won the lottery, I would really have life and live. And people who have gone that route found out that man's life does not consist in the abundance of the thing which they possess. It's the eternal life of Christ in our lives that makes all the difference. Let the wicked forsake his way. Recognize it's a false god you're following. It's a broken cistern. It's a wicked way. Don't believe the world when they say there's no such thing as truth. Anybody's truth is whatever you make it. Somebody said, when anybody tells you there's no truth, they're asking you not to believe them. So don't. Don't believe them. Based on their own saying, there's no such thing as truth, so why should I believe what they're telling me? There is truth. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The unrighteous man, let him turn away from his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. To our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Don't let the devil make you think that you're too bad for the Lord, because the Lord Jesus loves sinners, of which we all are. Paul could say, I am chief. Because, you see, you'll never judge God's thoughts by your own. Our own thoughts are so tainted with selfishness that we think God's just as selfish as we are. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts and your thoughts. I mean, sometimes we have to say, well, man, if I was God, I wouldn't love me. I'd have given up on me long ago. But not so our God. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As the rain comes down, the snow returns to the waters of the earth, makes it bring forth and bud, should give seed to the sower, bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It will accomplish what I delighted in. See, God will keep his word. He is an absolute sovereign of the universe. He can keep his word in spite of men's rebellion. The most rebellious act that man has had was to crucify the Son of God, the perfect Son of God, when he came, and reject him. They did it out of malice and hatred and envy. And God was able to, in spite of that, they were doing their own will. In spite of that, he used that and turned it into the greatest source of blessing that the world has ever known. There was one fellow here that studied, he's a wrestler. And I wrestled as well. The good wrestlers could take your move that you would try, and they would use that. They would move forward while you drag their arm and get behind them. Because you're one step ahead. God's 100 steps ahead of all the evil of mankind, of every evil thing that men seek to do. He's in control, in spite of it looking like men do their own will. You can trust that God will do exactly what he said he would do. If he says he's going to save you for eternity, you can go to the bank on it. You can trust what he says. You can have peace and rest. He says that he'll give you the most joyous life. You can trust him. He will do it. He is the one who is the river of living waters, and he will flow out of you so that you become a river of living water to be a blessing to people that God brings in your path. Listen to the verse 12 and 13. What a finish. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Go forth with joy. Go out with joy. Led forth with peace. The word led forth is the word for jubilee. You'll jubilee with peace. Remember, the year of jubilee was the year of release, was the year of forgiveness, was the year when all your debts were forgiven, forgotten. The Lord will jubilee his peace. Not only that, you have the alpine chorus of mountains singing and the audience of trees clapping their hands in ovations to such singing. The whole creation will declare his glories. That's what God has planned, to not only save us individually, but he has a plan to correct all the mess of the old creation and to make a new creation wherein dwells righteousness. And instead of the thorn, which came up when sin came in, remember, shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar, the myrtle. Are you going to make everything Myrtle Beach? I don't know. The myrtle tree, all these wonderful trees. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Do we have a hope or do we have a hope? You know, when you want to get down and discouraged, think of these promises. Read Isaiah 55. That will perk you up. Because not only have we been blessed now, but what a glorious future. And it's all because of one man. A man who's God. He was willing to become a baby, to live 30 years at home with a father that probably died when he was young, so he had a lot of the responsibility at home. Then 3 years of public ministry, and he changed the world. He did things nobody else did. He said things nobody else ever said. No man spake like this man. The crowds from all over gathered to hear him, to be healed by him. And yet, men in their hearts hated him without a cause. He comes into Jerusalem on that last week, riding on a donkey. Hosanna, he proclaimed. And he looks out over Jerusalem and has to weep. Say, you didn't know. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You didn't know the day of your visitation. I hope right now that there's not one person in this room that the Lord is looking at and weeping because you reject him. And he's looking at you weeping, saying, and put your own name in. You didn't recognize the time of your visitation. You didn't recognize when I was coming. You didn't love the truth to recognize it because the lies were so established in your mind. You'd rather believe those than the obscure truth, you might say. It's not obscure. Read his word. You will see that nobody ever spoke like him. There's no book like this book. This is a supernatural book filled with supernatural words, things that could never have been written by men, would never have been written by men. But God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish lasting life. So we pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for such a wonderful gospel. With your arms outstretched, saying, oh, everyone that thirsts, let him come drink the waters of life. Lord Jesus, we know they're only found in you. And we thank you for those of us that have thirsted. We knew the empty cisterns, the broken cisterns that we followed were just that. And we had thirsty souls, and when we came and drank, Lord, we know that what you said was true. Pray that there would not be one thirsty soul in this room this day, but that they would come and drink and realize that you are as good as your word. We thank you, Lord. Amen.